Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
John McClain joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at @McClain_on_NFL. He's presented by FreelandChevy.com. John, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy preseason's over and regular season is beginning. College football is in full swing, too, and I think we all agree it's best, the best time of the year.
We completely agree. You 3 weeks ago, we were trying to decide how long ago you told us this, but 3 weeks ago you said the Texans are going to trade Jadeveon Clowney and they're going to go after a left tackle. Tell us about the offer from Miami for Miami in exchange for Clowney and what ultimately you expect to happen.
Even though the Miami media says that Laremy Tunsil, their left tackle, will not be traded because he's their best offensive player, and cornerback Xavier Howard from Houston and Baylor is their best defensive player. If you want a guy like Clowney, what do they think they're going to give up? I think the Texans have a deal for Tunsil, but I think this, Clowney hasn't signed his franchise tender. He doesn't want to go to Miami, and he wants to go to Philadelphia and play for Jim Schwartz in that wide nine where he can line up wide at weak side end and just rush the passer. But they've got their starting tackles, their 37-year-old Jason Peters, 29-year-old Lane Johnson, who has two suspensions. The backups are their first-round pick, Andre Dillard, and then Big V. I can't pronounce Big V's name. So I don't think the Eagles would part with Andre Dillard, although I don't know why. I also know the Texans were not interested in him before the draft, even though everybody thinks they got bamboozled when Philadelphia traded up with them, because I knew before the draft they weren't interested in him. So, till Clowney signs, nothing can happen. And as it gets closer to regular season, there's going to be no trade. Teams are not going to just hand over a left tackle right when the season's starting. They got to adjust, too. So the longer it goes, he either holds out, loses $939,000 a week, or he comes back at the last minute and plays for the Texans again. They could trade him in the offseason. But Bill O'Brien told us today, this is not about me not wanting him. It's about a difference in the value that we both have. In other words, Clowney wants more money than they're willing to pay.
Phone lines are open. If you want to talk NFL with John McClain from the Houston Chronicle, here's your chance. 615-737-1045, 737-1045. 1045.
John, ultimately, why is Clowney not willing to just play out this franchise tag year and take the money that's on the table, which is quite a bit of money?
Well, he would be, except if he signs, he's going to be traded. He doesn't want to be traded to Miami. And his only recourse is not to sign that tender, wait, maybe even lose $939,000 a week for a week or two when he knows he's not going to be traded.
Yeah.
And come back and play for the Texans and try to have another great season, improve as a pass rusher. The bottom line is he wanted to be played like a premier pass rusher. He's not. You know, they were going to offer him like $90 million over 5 years, but he wanted more, and so they couldn't do it. Now I think he'll never sign a long-term contract here. He'll be traded. It's just a matter of when. Will it be next week? Will it be before the draft in April?
Is there any chance, and I know you, the Texans want to get something in return here. Is there any chance?
They want to get a left tackle in return.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Is there any chance that they say, we're not getting the offer that we want, we're not trading you to the team you want to go to in Philadelphia for any offer, screw you, sit out the year?
Well, then he would come in and play for them. That's still a possibility.
Well, then he signs the tender and they trade him.
Well, the team's not going to trade once they get close to regular season. That trade, he's known for over a month. I've seen these national media reports. One guy, I'm not going to say who it is, said okay. He would. This was 3 weeks ago. He would report after the third preseason game. Well, you never put a timeline on it and say you will. And then when he didn't, this guy said, well, he was, but he changed his mind when he found out they were going to trade him. He's known for over a month. He talked, everybody acts like he talked to Miami last week. No, he talked to Miami 3 weeks ago. Talked to Brian Flores. He's known they want to trade him to Miami. He doesn't want to go and be part of a rebuilding project. His second choice, other than Philadelphia, would be to come back to Houston. But the trade's going to be off the table when the season begins. Nobody, without a time to adjust, nobody's going to hand over. They want a young left tackle who's under contract because they got other contractual issues after the season, like extending Deshaun Watson. If J.J. Watt has another great season, they're going to have to pay him again. I don't think Clowney was ever going to get more money here than Watt got. Watt got $100.9 million, and I don't think there's any way the Texans, and they never admitted, would never admit this, were going to pay him more than $100.9 million.
Would the Texans have given Miami what they were asking for, reportedly, which was a lot more than just a straight-up Tunsil for Clowney?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure when Miami could be in the same situation a year from now to where they got to franchise him again and he doesn't show up in the offseason because he wants too much money, and if I'm running that risk, then I want more than just Clowney for a guy who's been is my franchise left tackle. How much more, I don't know. But so far, it hadn't happened, and I don't know what else they give up besides Clowney. I know people in Philadelphia are all in a tizzy. I got talk shows calling me because they think Clowney might be coming up there, and I tell them no. He'd like to come up there, but I just don't see it because they don't have what the Texans want. Miami does. There was talk about Seattle. What are they going to do? Bring back Dwayne Brown, the Seahawks left tackle, whose demand to be traded because they wouldn't redo his contract with 2 years left, created his void at the most important position on the line. So I think if, like, he were to come this weekend, he'd be traded. The closer he waits up to the game time, I don't think he'll be traded.
John, help me with this, and then we'll get to some calls coming up. How desperate are the Texans for left tackle help?
When they drafted Titus Howard, they thought he was going to be their left tackle. They knew he was a project coming from a small school. He came in. While they were working him at left tackle, they put him at left guard, and all of a sudden, it's like a light went off. They said, ah, this guy's a better left guard, so he's the starting left guard. Matt Khalil, they were trying to get him to play for a year after he missed last season because of the knee injury. He was going pretty well. Then he got a foot injury. He hadn't played since. And so right now they may have to petition the league to play with CFL rules so they can have two left tackles.
Let's go to Tyler on line one, first up for John McClain. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, guys. Hey, John. I had a cute question about my Colts. I'm a huge fan, of course, you know, tough losing luck this year, but I'm kind of curious as to how you think Brissett's going to do with our offense and kind of just an outlook of how you think we're going to do this season with Brissett as quarterback.
Thank you, Tyler. I think that they're doing everything they can in Indianapolis to express confidence in Jacoby Brissett, talking about how many snaps he's taken with the first team since he's been there. And the good news is the team that's their primary competition, because they won it last year, the Texans, are 0-3 against Brissett. He beat them as a rookie with New England, and he beat them 2 years ago when both teams were 4-12. Now, he didn't play great, but he still was there when they won. So they need a backup. They looked at Brock Osweiler. They looked at Brandon Whedon. And the guys talked about earlier before we went to the break, former Titans they've looked at. So they got to have a backup. They better be able to run the ball, play defense. But I think the Colts are going to take a huge step back, might even finish in last place in the division.
Some people still believe they're the most talented team in the division.
Well, let's see.
I'm not agreeing with that.
They didn't have a 1,000-yard runner. They got T.Y. Hilton. They got good tight ends. They got a great offensive line. They got Darius Leonard and Malik Hooker. And Dennis Autry, the defensive tackle, is a good pass rusher. It's not Dennis. I forgot his name. I'll remember it when they play the Texans because he kills the Texans. So, yeah, they still got talent, but where does it all start? It starts at quarterback, and they better Marlon Mack better have a great season as a running back, and they better run the heck out of the ball, control the clock to protect Brissett, but or they're doomed to be maybe 8-8. Mike Chappell has covered him forever. I saw last week he was asked on Twitter by a fan, pick a record, and he said 7-9.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got a lot of good spine to the team, a lot of good skeleton to the team. But
their biggest asset in that area is their head coach and GM, I think.
Yes, but, you know, Brissett has to play well for them to be anywhere in the mix. And, you know, it's been a while since we've seen him. And last time we saw him, he wasn't part of a very good team, but... Yeah, a lot of people speak very highly of Jacoby Brissett, better than I would have expected based on what they produced with him at quarterback last time around.
Jonathan, I agree with you on Chris Ballard, but I don't know why everybody's talking about it. I read and hear constantly what a great coach Frank Reich is. He was 10-6. I saw him give away a Texans game in overtime with a boneheaded call that he said he would make again going for it on fourth down in his territory, which the Texans stopped him, got the ball, and won. And, you know, I want to see him do it again now that he's got some adversity. Andrew Luck played great, and a lot of that was the offensive line. And Frank Reich fired the offensive line coach to bring in a friend. And I can't remember where that guy went that was there. But before I think that he's got a chance to be special, I want to see him have another good year with some adversity.
John, I was in Chicago last night for the preseason finale between the Titans and Bears.
Loved it.
And while I think there will be teams that will be all in for the 100th season across the NFL, I'm not sure if there will be a city and a franchise more involved, and I'm throwing the Packers into this, than what Chicago and the Bears are doing for the 100th season. They have been celebrating this all offseason to the point where their radio crew was telling us that they can't wait to kick off the season just so they can discuss the 100th season as what it will be from weeks 1 to 17 instead of reflecting over the entire history. They are building this up as a once-in-a-lifetime season.
And that's great, and Green Bay should do it because I don't think the Packers are going to be very good. That may be the most positive thing they have to talk about is Curly Lambeau in 1919 and meatpacking companies that helped them get their nickname and the way Wellington Mara's brother spoke up to share TV money evenly to keep the Packers in business. Now, the Bears have a good team. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, but those are the two most storied franchises in the NFL. Cowboy fans will tell you they are, of course. But it's Green Bay and Chicago. I think they've played more than any other team. It's always a great rivalry. And I hope, other than Canton, Ohio, where the NFL was formed and where the Hall of Fame is, I can't think of any place more steeped in history than Chicago and Green Bay.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe I missed a snap. The two quarterbacks that will trot out onto Soldier Field next Thursday did not take a snap in the preseason.
That's true. I watched the Rams last night, and Sean McVay didn't play any starter in preseason. And he went to the Super Bowl last year. So if the NFL owners don't do something about cutting down on preseason games, which they are, and they're going to add at least one, probably two, regular season games, you're going to see every coach start to hold out all his starters, and then it would be like a glorified practice, which it kind of is anyway.
Yeah.
But it's going to be even more of a sham than it already is.
John, thank you as always. We always enjoy these chats, especially as we turn the page through the preseason and get ready for real football.
Have a big holiday weekend.
I'm pumped about it. You guys have a great weekend.